by chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you say it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, there'll be no doubt when you see you are. Grass make the heaven the middle of it. Grass make the heaven the middle. We are grass make the
secret truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Just want to say a few things, sort of my impressions about this COVID-19 and so forth, and give you a little idea of where I'm coming from on this, okay? I know the Patriot, and I'm a part of the Patriot movement, you could say, and they keep coming back that this is a hoax and all this other stuff. But here's what I see happening out there, and this is what we need to be very, very careful about. And that's we've got different locations in the world. We have possibly up to 30 different strains, okay? So you're going to have different anecdotal, sometimes not scientific. Sometimes you're going to have science mixed in with anecdotal and so forth. But these different locations are experiencing different things about the severity and the risk that this virus poses, okay? The degree of risk, I could say, because it varies from place to place. Henry Nieman, who has recombonomics.co, has been testifying frequently on radio talk shows. He's someone to go into and listen to, and he keeps track of all the clusters and so forth that are coming up on this COVID-19. And so what he's able to see is different cluster groups. And what he's saying is, on the West Coast, they got contaminated directly from Wuhan of the strains. Now, the East Coast was not closed down for a while. In fact, when Trump closed down the traffic into the West Coast from China, he should have designated other airlines at that time that flew in from that general area, because people were leaving China and flying in from different surrounding countries and still entering in, but on different airlines, and he shut down. The other thing that he made a mistake on, but I mean, that was good. He closed off that China traffic, which saved us a great deal. Thank you, President Trump. The other thing was he did not get any advice from the European traffic coming in from Europe. And that's where some of the more deadly strains hit New York. And that should have been closed down early on as he could. He did close down some of that traffic later, but it was a little bit later than it should have been. But so the virus that came in to Italy, and it was one of the more dangerous strains. That's why Italy suffered so greatly. Now, let's get back to the Patriot Movement. Patriot Movement is sick and tired of all of these governors shutting us down, okay? So what we're going to and they're doing these protests at the state capitals throughout the country. I think there was one just up in Oregon today, in fact. But I'm getting feedback from all my friends, and they're sick and tired, and they want things to open up. Well, this close down has been very detrimental to, okay, our business overall. So we've got to open up, but with some logical, you know, restraints. Now, let me say this. When people try to compare this COVID-19 to other, you could say, seasonal viruses or flu that run through the country yearly, okay, so on a seasonal basis, it's not comparable, and it's not comparable for this reason to the seasonal flus. It's much more dangerous than the seasonal flu. Because when you're seeing dozens of people in different retirement homes and those people with very weak immune systems or more vulnerable with multiple problems, either diabetes, respiratory type of problems with emphysema, these are your most risky, you could say, contractors of this virus. And I actually have over 70 years of age, I think, we're seeing. But it's dangerous for those, really dangerous for those people. And that's why we had so many people in those retirement homes, go under. Now, there have been examples, though, and that we've seen of doctors up in New York that were on the front lines and contracted it, and they died, too. And they were healthy, pretty healthy, and they weren't in retirement homes. So we've had, depending on the strain that you're exposed to and your predisposition, you could say, of your immune system and so forth, would result in differing types of results. Now, this first clip that we're going to start off with this evening is about General Flynn. And I want to shout out to John B. Wells up in Dallas. He's got his own program up there, Caravan to Midnight. And he put together a tremendous symposium. And he also devoted a portion of it to raising money for General Flynn. And General Flynn has been badly treated, let's face it. And I think Trump is going to get up there and straighten this up. So anyway, I've got this first clip is about General Flynn and some discussion that was had on a panel discussion on Fox, and it really gets into the depths of what the General Flynn thing is about. And all of this, they got together and they spied on Trump before, during his campaign, and then after he was in office. And this is very, very dangerous for our country. But here we go with a panel discussion, Fox Network, on General Flynn.
Let's bring in from Columbus, Ohio, Republican Congressman from that great state, Jim Jordan, ranking member of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know, you've kind of been talking about this for a long time. It now looks, now that we've seen the documents with our own two eyes, it looks like somebody at the FBI and the Department of Justice was out to get Flynn, get him, essentially entrap him, have him tell a lie, charge him on that, prosecute him on that, so that they could get rid of him and embarrass the Trump administration.
Yep.
A gut punch just at the time of the inauguration.
Yeah, no, it was worse than we thought. Remember what happened here, Steve. The FBI in 2016 spies on two American citizens associated with the Trump campaign. For one of those citizens, they go to the secret court, the FISA court. They take the now famous dossier, the dossier they knew was salacious and unverified, the dossier that they knew was not true. They use that as the basis to get the warrant to spy on one of these individuals. They don't tell the court that the dossier is Russian disinformation. They don't tell the court that it was paid for by the Clinton campaign. And they don't tell the court the guy who wrote it, Christopher Steele, had already told the Justice Department he was desperate to stop Trump. And now we learn they go after Mike Flynn and set him up just days into the new administration. What I want to know is, why didn't Bob Mueller tell us this? Remember, in May of 2017, when Bob Mueller's named special counsel, we were told this is the greatest guy who's ever come to Washington. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. He's the most honest guy since George Washington. Why didn't he tell us this? And maybe more importantly, where's Christopher Wray? Why didn't we learn any of this from him? Thank goodness for Sidney Powell and Bill Barr. We would have never got this information.
True. So let me ask you, when you look at these underlying documents that Sidney Powell requested that the Attorney General Sessions didn't, that Barr has been offensive, where Sessions seemed to be catatonic, I don't know what he was doing, do you wonder, did Mueller have these documents? And what makes me think he does is because he discovered that Strzok was having an affair with Page and said these guys got to go because of these text messages. How did he not see these other documents when they were actually working?
Great question, Brian. I have no idea. Bob Mueller had 19 lawyers, 40 FBI agents, $30 million in 2 years to do this, mm-hmm. and we're just now learning it. Thank goodness Bill Barr put U.S. Attorney Jensen in charge of this to go back and look at the Mike Flynn situation. And again, thank goodness that Sidney Powell has been pushing for this, or we wouldn't get this information. And again, I come back to, why didn't we learn this from Chris Wray? Chris Wray testified in front of the Judiciary Committee 2 months ago in February, and he told us with this whole FISA process, you can all sleep well at night, we got it all under control. Well, guess what? We just learned this information about General Flynn. And just as importantly, Mr. Horowitz told us just 4 weeks ago, he's looked at 29 FISA applications, random sample of 29 FISA applications where American citizens have been spied on. And he found that in every single one, there were major problems. In four of those 29, they couldn't even find the Woods file, which is the underlying file they keep of the evidence that they then take to the FISA court. In four of those cases, they couldn't even find the Woods file. And the FBI director is telling us, oh, we can all sleep well at night. Again, if they can do this to a three-star general, if they can do this to the President of the United States, imagine what they can do to you and me. And more importantly, imagine what they can do to the 750,000 people I get the privilege of representing in the 4th District of Ohio. That is what's so troubling about all this. And Christopher Wray needs to tell us what he's been up to this 2.5 years that he's been director of the FBI.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Take politics out of this. This is a man's life. This is a general who fought for our country for 3 decades, has 2 kids, has a family. This has cost him millions of dollars in attorney fees. And he did tweet out the picture of the American flag as to say, the truth will set you free. Finally, justice in this. You mentioned that Sidney Powell and Bill Barr, thankfully, they're bringing light to all of this, and America will know the truth. But also, thank goodness for this guy who wrote down these notes, if he was asking questions like, are they asking me to lie? Because why would you write that down? And he put question marks on the end of these sentences. Is that what they're asking me to do? Almost to say, I'm sitting in a room with my boss. They're telling me that I have to go and do this, and I don't agree with it. I want a paper trail. What do you think?
Well, first of all, you're right. The vast, vast majority of FBI agents and personnel are fighting hard for the American people every day. But the people at the top, remember what Bill Barr said a year ago? He said there was a failure of leadership at the upper echelon of the FBI. That's maybe the greatest understatement ever. Comey, McCabe, Baker, Strzok, Page. I mean, of course there was a failure of leadership. All these people have been fired or let go of the FBI. They're the ones who coordinate this thing. So that's where the problem was. And that's what we need to find out. And again, I come back to this. Why didn't we learn this before? Bob Mueller spent all this taxpayer dollars, did this big, long investigation, was supposed to be the end-all, be-all. Why didn't we learn this before? This is so wrong what they did to General Flynn, so wrong what they tried to do to the President of the United States. And the other FISA investigation that Inspector General Horowitz is doing, the 29 cases I talked about, he's just in the interim. He hasn't done his report. Yeah. This is a major problem. It's why we need reform of this whole FISA process.
It's such a good point. Why didn't we know this before? Because for the last 3 years, Jim, this has been Donald Trump's Department of Justice. And, you know, there is a new sheriff in town. We've got Bill Barr. He's been on the job replacing Sessions, ultimately. And in January, he came out and he said, I'm going to appoint a fellow by the name of Jeffrey Jensen from the Eastern District of Missouri to look into the Flynn case. And that's where these documents came from, ultimately. Exactly. Explain how this could be part of a bigger picture on how behind the scenes Donald Trump's Department of Justice is finally looking into this with Durham and Huber and this Jensen guy to finally give the American people a picture of what happened in 2017.
No, well said. If Bill Barr's not the Attorney General, we don't get this information. It's plain and simple. I look forward to Mr. Durham's investigation being completed. I hope there's going to be a report. The Attorney General's indicated he expects something sometime this summer. I look forward to that. I hear good things, but we'll know when that comes out. But the bottom line is what took place beforehand, what they did to American citizens, what they did to a three-star general, what they tried to do to the President of the United States. I keep coming back to what Emmett Flood said back when the Mueller report came out a little over a year ago, he said we would all do well to remember if they can do it to a president of the United States, imagine what they can do to you and I. And that is the bottom. Yeah. That is why this has to get cleaned up, why we need the reforms put in place so that this doesn't happen again, so that we can all sleep well at night, which is what Chris Wray told us 2 months. Certainly doesn't look like that's the case, but we want to get to that point.
James Comey's book, he writes about himself as a hero, talks about how he's done all these great things in his career, and he continues to be, has a lack of self-awareness like I've never seen before. Here he is with Nicole Wallace at the 92nd Y, reflecting on his wonderful career and how he took down Flynn. Listen to this.
You look at this White House now, and it's hard to imagine two FBI agents ending up in the sit room. How did that happen?
I sent them. Something I probably wouldn't have done or maybe gotten away with in a more organized investigation, a more organized administration, in the George W. Bush administration, for example, or the Obama administration, there was process. And so if the FBI wanted to send agents into the White House itself to interview a senior official, you would work through the White House counsel, and there'd be discussions and approvals and who would be there. And I thought, it's early enough, let's just send a couple guys over.
And those guys had no interest in the story of him talking to Kislyak. They wanted to get the guy out of the White House.
Yep.
And to describe, tell me what you make sense of this, Jim. Why would President Obama bring up two things reportedly to President Trump? Look out for North Korea and look out for Michael Flynn. What's going on there?
Now, who knows, but the arrogance and the ego of Jim Comey there, that attitude he had, there was process. They should have notified the White House counsel that they were coming over to talk to Mike Flynn. They should have told him that it was, that they were trying to say that they weren't square with General Flynn, a guy who served our country, three-star general. It is so wrong what they did, and the arrogance that Comey has. Remember, Comey's the guy in charge, and all this happened under his watch. McCabe, Baker, Strzok, Page, all these key people at the upper echelon of the FBI, to use Bill Barr's term, this all happened under Jim Comey's watch. He's the guy responsible. And it is, so many Americans are learning now that everything we've said now for several years, the only thing we had wrong is it was worse than we thought. And Americans are fed up with this and they want it cleaned up.
You know, we've heard
more to come.
We've had so many people on our show this morning. We had Brett Tolman talking about this. He said they created an investigation. We had Greg Jarrett on. He said this was a setup for perjury. Dan Bongino's been talking about the FBI saying what they were doing in some of these situations is they would find the criminal, and then they have to go and find his or her crime. This is America. This is very scary.
Yep.
And you're right. If we don't hold someone accountable, this could happen to you. This could, anyone who runs for office. We don't like your politics. We're going to find a crime that you've done. It's very scary. Will people be held accountable?
I think so. I mean, again, all we can do is highlight what happened. The other thing we could do, and we've been pushing Chairman Nadler to do this, is we can bring in Mr. Horowitz. He's issued now a couple reports, critical, scathing report of the FISA process that was used on Carter Page back in December. We have yet to have Mr. Horowitz in front of the Oversight Committee, yet to have him in front of the Judiciary Committee. So he should come in and testify. That should be step one. As far as holding people accountable, that's the Justice Department's job. I trust Bill Barr. I trust John Durham that they're going to get that done. But let's certainly hope so, that someone is held accountable for these major wrongs that took place with General Flynn and, of course, with the whole attack on the president himself during his campaign.
Because, as you just said a moment ago, it's worse than we thought. Jim Jordan from the great state of Ohio joining us today from Columbus. Sir, thank you very much.
Thank you
all. Take care.
Coming up next, see, the whole thing is so scandalously treasonous. And, I mean, it's unbelievable. John Durham has all these different notes now that General Flynn's attorney got hold of. But Bill Barr was responsible too in getting some of these notes. But John Durham is taking those notes and looking at them right now. And here's what John Durham. There's a quick report here on John Durham. This is put forward. This report on Durham and others is put forward by H.A. Goodman, and he's quite a reporter. So he's someone to go into on YouTube and start looking at some of his videos. Here we go with H.A. Goodman. He covers the waterfront. I just have about half of his report here, just a tidbit of it, but you can go in there into his site and listen to the whole thing. Here we go now.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Flynn was set up. The Washington Post doesn't think so, but all you have to do, if you don't debate anyone, don't talk to anyone, don't discuss anything with anyone who has Trump issues with, like, derangement issues pertaining to President Trump, where they just, you know, they despise him and there's just contempt that is beyond irrational. against the president, but if you have to, and they bring up Michael Flynn, explain the following. First of all, the investigation of Trump and Flynn and everyone around the president was predicated upon intelligence assessments. So what they said was, it would be the equivalent of, honey, where's the remote control? Oh, I don't know. Okay, my assessment is that you deliberately worked with the neighbor to hide the remote control to ruin my life. And I'm going to torment you for the next year. That's exactly what essentially took place. President Trump had nothing to do with Russian Facebook ads. There was no evidence ever that he had anything to do with Russian Facebook ads. There's no evidence at all that Russian Facebook ads or Twitter bots swung the election. Clinton was in Arizona in 2016. Subscribe, by the way, to Bizarro World Goodman, my comedy channel. People love it. Subscribe to H.A. Goodman's other channel, my other channel. And subscribe to this channel if you want to support my voice long term. My Patreon is below. And please share the article below. Hillary Clinton 2020 is a reality. Get ready for 8 years of Trump. Clinton will be nominee. I'm the only person on the planet. This is the biggest political call of all time, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm the only person on the planet who's stated that since 2017. But the assessment from the ODNI, James Clapper was the director of national intelligence. If you read the Director of National Intelligence, the ODNI report, they are highly to moderately confident. They began an investigation that was predicated upon highly to moderately confident beliefs. They were not certain. This was not an example of a bank being robbed and then an investigation started to find out who robbed the bank. The DNC emails, the DNC was allegedly hacked by Russia. Russian intelligence officials were indicted based on Company One's evidence, not the evidence that Brennan or Comey or Strzok or anyone else compiled. We have billions upon billions of dollars spent for the United States intelligence agencies. Not one of these agencies found any evidence that Trump worked with Russia. The Mueller investigation did not find that Trump or anyone else worked with Russia. Nobody was indicted. President Trump was not charged with any crimes, any legal statutes, not obstruction of justice, nothing. No working with Russia, nothing. In the impeachment, which was two fabricated notions that he obstructed Congress, which is not really, which is not a legal statute, and abused his power, which is subjective. All presidents obstruct Congress. President Obama did, and every other president we've ever had did. And all an abuse of power is completely and utterly subjective. But you look at, I mean, when President Obama said, well, gosh, I didn't know that my own Secretary of State had a private server, and then we found out that he was emailing Clinton under a pseudonym. Yeah, he knew. Then we found out that Cheryl Mills stated the president has emails from Clinton. We need to fix this. So they all knew everything. The whole thing was, we can go on forever, but Michael Flynn was caught in an investigation, Crossfire Hurricane, predicated upon intelligence assessments that were only highly to moderately confident viewpoints. They are not certain. The United States government is not certain about anything. Simply indicting Russian intelligence officials, knowing that they will never come to the United States of America to stand trial, is a public relations stunt, similar to the Green New Deal resolution, which is a public relations stunt. I'm wearing this shirt because, God bless President Trump, he's the only president who goes up against corrupt intelligence officials. He's the only president who ends the never-ending conflict and America's longest-running war in Afghanistan. He's slowly ending that. He's the first president ever to to step foot in North Korea. And he's the first president ever to go up against corrupt intelligence officials here. Here's just an example for people who worship the FBI. And FBI agent serving time for Miami. Okay, gets a new release date. John Connolly, the notorious former FBI agent convicted of helping gangsters engineer the demise of gambling executive in Miami, has a new possible parole date early 2039. Okay, he would be 98 years old. John Connolly was a top ranking, one of the highest ranking FBI officials in Boston. He and other FBI officials were just basically crooked cops, and what they did was work with criminals and allow criminals to get away with just ending the lives of people and doing a whole lot of despicable things. These are FBI top officials who were caught. And guess who put away Connolly? John Durham. Does that indict all of the FBI in the court of public opinion? No. The majority of the FBI, I'm sure, great people. I've actually known retired FBI agents over the years. They're really, really great, nice people. But the notion that an FBI agent wouldn't fabricate things is absurd. We now find out, ladies and gentlemen, I'll read you this. This is The Hill. One note reflects discussions within the FBI shortly after the 2016 election on how to entrap Flynn in an interview concerning his conversations with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak. According to Fox News, the note was written by former FBI head of counterintelligence Bill Priestap after a meeting with Comey and his deputy director Andrew McCabe. The note states, quote, "What is our goal? Truth and admission, or to get him to lie so we can prosecute him or get him fired? This may have expressed an honest question over the motivation behind his targeting of Flynn, a decision of which Comey later publicly took credit when he had told an audience that he decided he could get away with sending, quote, a couple of guys over to the White House to set up Flynn and make the case. The new documents also explore how the Justice Department could get Flynn to admit breaking the Logan Act, a law that dates back from 1799, which makes it a crime for a citizen to intervene in disputes between the United States and foreign governments. It has never been used to convict a citizen and is widely viewed as flagrantly unconstitutional. Michael Flynn never worked with Turkey or any other country while he was working as national security advisor. That's a fact. He was indicted on lying to an FBI agent. The two FBI agents were Priestap and Strzok. Peter Strzok said, "We'll stop Trump." Peter Strzok said, "Trump needs to lose 1-0. Lisa Page stated that they were told to, be hands off on the Clinton investigation and go all out on, or at least there was a difference of viewpoint on mid-year exam, even the names, mid-year exam with Clinton and crossfire hurricane with Trump. But they set up Flynn for something that, okay, the FBI can interview you, and if you don't lie, like, for example, here's an article, House Intel Report, McCabe said agents who interviewed Flynn didn't think he was lying. James Comey also stated his understanding initially was that Flynn didn't lie. The notion from even Fox News' Chris Wallace to definitely to CNN and definitely the Washington Post is, well, why did he lie to the FBI? Well, he didn't. He didn't lie to the FBI. What took place was two agents that want to just bring him down interviewed him. They don't record their interviews. There is no recording video or audio of their interviews. And they have 302s where you're relying on a person like John Connolly, who is the FBI chief from Boston in prison right now, who might get out when he's 98 years old for all the crimes he committed. You're relying on the word of the FBI. The FBI and every intelligence agency we've had has committed crimes over the years. Infiltrated civil rights organizations, set up people, worked with criminals. Not all of the agents, but these people are left unchecked oftentimes. they went after and they set up Michael Flynn. The motive and the intent William Barr and John Durham have. So we'll get to William Barr and John Durham in 10 minutes in. William Barr and John Durham know exactly what you know and more. They know exactly what I know and more. The notion that the Inspector General Michael Horowitz said it was predicated upon a sound reasoning, the investigation of Flynn and Trump, and Michael Horowitz doesn't have all the information. He didn't have these 302s. He had only the information that people gave him. For the Clinton investigation that was completely covered up Clinton's crimes, he said there was no prosecutorial bias, meaning the prosecutors, the evidence that they were given, Comey said there was no intent, which is absurd. There was no intent for Clinton, who had top secret intelligence on servers outside of the United States government, deliberately to hide almost certainly Clinton Foundation emails. Because the Clinton Foundation was a money laundering racket. Money flew into the Clinton Foundation, and then favors, it miraculously took place. The left, Democrats, are completely and utterly, like, not only oblivious, they just don't care. They will latch on like barnacles to any agency, any person, any value system for the moment. They're always just short-term gain. They don't care whether it's believe just to get Kavanaugh, or not believe so much to just, you know, let Biden go. Clinton's going to be nominee again. We'll talk about that in a second. But
H.A. Goodman has been saying for a while that Clinton is just hovering in the background over this whole Joe Biden thing. He's just more of a caretaker, you know, but this is a clip coming up next. Laura Ingraham, a little 3-minute clip here about the media. And it's surprising how bad they've become.
It's easy to become numb to media bias these days. So the Ingraham angle's keeping track of the worst offenders every week. Now, joining me is Adam Gouillette, who's the president of Accuracy in Media. Adam, great to see you. Now, let's begin with CNN's Don Lemon. You guys are good friends. And he was claiming to know the real reason that the White House wasn't holding their daily COVID press briefings.
You actually pay attention to what's happening in Washington with this administration, not having the briefings, pretending that this is over, because they want to move on to other things. So not having those briefings, that's all part of the plan for you to think that this is over.
First, CNN complained that didn't they complain the briefings were a waste of time? They cut away. They hardly ever showed them. And then Lemon specifically said they shouldn't even be taken as live events. So now why is he whining at them?
It's unbelievable. If cognitive dissonance is holding two opposing viewpoints at the same time, what is the term for holding two opposing viewpoints the same week? They're for the briefings, they're against the briefings, they're for the briefings. Literally, whatever position Trump takes, they immediately write their copy, "We're against it."
No, it's so goofy. I mean, it's like there's no other issue happening in the entire world. It's important, but there are other issues they have to get to. It's crazy. But they want us to stay in this perpetual panic mode because they think that, you know, is maybe good for their ratings, or maybe it's bad for Trump. I don't know what their full analysis is. All right, next up. A New York Magazine reporter, Adam, doesn't understand the difference between losing people in a war versus a pandemic.
If an American president loses more Americans over the course of 6 weeks than died in the entirety of the Vietnam War, does he deserve to be reelected?
Adam, a lot of folks made this comparison this week. LA Times had a headline, and we've had really bad flu seasons that have had, almost that amount of deaths as well. This year was a bad flu season. We don't even have those full numbers. You know, your thoughts on this?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, first they wanted to make this Trump's Katrina. Now they're trying to make it Trump's Vietnam. Any minute they're going to start putting the counter in the bottom corner of the screen with the deaths each day. Rachel Maddow is going to start telling people the pandemic is now unwinnable and distributing cyanide tablets for her viewers to put in their kombucha. Their overstatement of this is outrageous.
Now, finally, here's Obama's former campaign manager trying to rewrite history.
There's a real difference between the media looking into these allegations, which is what they have done to Tara Reid and what they did to Brett Kavanaugh, and Mitch McConnell, who, you know, got that process over as fast as he could get it over to protect the nominee for Supreme Court.
Adam, you notice you got no pushback for that absurd claim.
Yeah, no, they have the intellectual integrity of the cast, or they lack the intellectual integrity of the cast of with Rose McGowan and them. It's unbelievable that we're getting better leadership from Milano.
Adam, great to see you. Have a great weekend.
Well, I tell you, this whole thing is getting crazy out there. Going to end the program with an extended clip from Zagami interview that Alex had with him. And this guy is a former Illuminati out of Italy, Zagami, Leo Zagami, Z-A-G-A-M-I, Zagami, Leo. And he's very insightful, and this is really, this will knock you socked off, folks. So listen carefully, and I'll put up the clips where you can go in and listen to the whole interview. But here we go with Leo Zagami.
This is the end times that we've always been talking about. We are about to approach the most dangerous part of it, because once they grab us for the mark of the beast with the Melinda Gates Foundation.
So this is the beginning of the end times.
Yes.
And you can debate. It's all esoteric so the general public can't understand it. I understand it's coded, but you're really smart. What is the best belief by the secret societies, but by your own research, when you left those secret societies, because we know they know it's real, about the time frame of the end times? Or is that governed by how we respond? It's not, it's fluid. It's a general guide, but it's fluid.
Well, we announced together in the beginning of the year, when we did the show in early January, that this 2020 will be a year like no other, because for the Illuminati, it symbolizes something particular, the connection of these two numbers together, this yin and yang. And in the next 10 years, basically, society will gradually divide in two. There will be people who blindly follow the artificial intelligence and cyber Satan in hell, in the abyss, and those who will renounce to this technology and form their communities externally.
So this is the great testing is now. Effective immediately, Canada bans basically all semi-autos. He says you don't need an AR-15 to bring down a deer, Trudeau said. No, you need it to fight off tyrants. So they're going to use this emergency to take the guns. We told you, this is unbelievable. We have to meet this head on, and we have to just decry the whole hoax now. It's clear it's a power grab. It's clear it's a hoax. It's clear that they hype the living daylights out of it to scare everybody, that they add all the other regular deaths on the list to put it up. They put people on ventilators when they know that if you do have this COVID-19, that's still pretty rare, it will kill you if you're on a ventilator. Medical doctors are out there saying that. Their videos are being banned. This is incredible. It's an amazing time to be alive right now. Leo Zagami joins us to look at the big picture here. Satanic Chinese government resumes removal of crosses from church buildings with Pope's approval. That's at leozagami.com. We'll also post this article to Infowars.com. And people think that sounds crazy. What was it, last year the Pope endorsed communist China and endorsed the shutting down of churches? So the Pope might as well eat babies on TV now. It's clearly, he's a globalist, he's New World Order, it's all revelation type stuff here right now. So again, Leo Zagami. Big picture, 35,000 foot view, or the 1,000 mile view on the earth. The lockdown, the takeover, the things that are happening. What's the big picture? Trump openly getting his position to admit we're at war with China. Their currency plunging to almost nothing today. Trump saying they are behind the Wuhan. We're going to get them. I mean, this is incredible stuff. I don't people realize how big this is.
And there is already a controversy between the director of national intelligence and Trump, because one is saying one thing and Trump is replying that he still believes that this virus came out of a lab, which is of course what researchers are agreeing with. Regarding the big picture, the next 10 years are for the empowerment of the AI and for China to become this AI superpower. So grabbing data is the most important thing for the AI. Data is the new oil, and you can imagine how powerful the Chinese are in doing this, because they are using, of course, all their economic side, which is just a militarized side, covert militarized side of their approach to reality, because everybody has to believe that China is now more moderate, and China is now a nation that actually has made even a deal with the Pope. And you mentioned the deal, of course, that was made in 2018 and, of course, went on in 2019. But for the first time in history, in February, in this Munich Security Council, aside from the Security Council, there were other meetings, and one of the most important meetings was the first official meeting between Communist China and the Vatican that went on in early February in Germany. We had already the first signs of this pandemic, but for the Vatican, the most important thing was to make a deal with Communist China, which is unprecedented. And it's unprecedented, of course, that this deal includes not only the recognition of those priests and bishops nominated by the Communist Party without any legitimacy, because the lineage should come from Jesus to Peter to all of the church, not
exactly. You can argue whether the Pope's got the rock and all that, but now when the Pope says, oh no, the Politburo, the Central Committee, it tells us where cardinals come from. This is literally a merger with the Communist Party.
Yes, so the Chinese Catholics are afraid that this whole nationalization and acceptance of Catholicism from the authorities is hiding, of course, their hidden agenda, their anti-Christian agenda, which, of course, was even more prominent in the last couple of years, since they have done some very stringent laws in 2017 against religion and against those religions who are not approved and accepted from the state. You saw right from the beginning of 2018, they actually blown up a church. There is actually images that you can find on YouTube of a mega church that was blown up in January 2018. And for the whole of 2018, they persecuted Christians of all denominations. And in the midst of all that, the Pope made a deal to protect his own interest with Communist China, so they will not be persecuted. So now Communist China is persecuting every single Christian denomination in town, aside from
the Catholic. By the way, if you look at Christ and Rome and the original history of the Christians, you don't compromise, you don't make deals with the kings, you get martyred, you don't back down.
Absolutely. I mean, there was actually something that happened a few hundred years ago when the Jesuits started to go to China, because that was one of the first things the Jesuit order did after the foundation. They started this whole thing called the Chinese controversies, which basically it's historical. You can go and check it out yourself. And it's basically that the Jesuits wanted to bring back to Rome their Confucius beliefs mixed up with Catholicism and form some kind of new rite, new ritual.
That's right. People don't know that it was the Jesuits and others and the Portuguese that controlled the maps, the rudders, and made the first deals with the Chinese. They couldn't really get into Japan for a while. Explain that to people, that the Jesuits actually picked up this whole legalism from this, that actually is one of the antecedents of communism, from the Chinese emperors.
Yes, after the foundation was they were authorized by the Vatican in 1540, the first mission that the founder Ignazio Loyola gave to his closer disciples, Matteo Ricci in particular, was to go to China, and then others went to India and so on. And they didn't bring Christianity to these pagan countries. They rather integrated with them, preached with them whatever were their beliefs, and then they, of course, tried to infiltrate the highest levels of their societies. And in China, they became the advisors even to the emperors. So the Jesuits gained really trust from the Chinese, and since then, they have a particular relation. That's why when the Jesuit Pope arrived, Pope Francis, everything changed, because up until Pope Ratzinger, the Chinese were still persecuting Catholics, arresting priests, arresting bishops, and there was this ongoing persecution. And of course,
but now the new Pope literally promotes communism openly. They're like, hell yeah, we're going to merge with you.
They merged with the official Catholic Church from the Communist Party. That was actually an heretic church not recognized by the official Catholic Church. So they merged together. And since the merger, there was an uprising. You remember the image of that Chinese lady that was slapped by the Pope on New Year's Eve?
Yes.
Well, she was a representative of that underground church who was trying to beg the Pope to say, please protect us from the Chinese communists. And she was slapped by the Pope.
Yeah, show Pope slaps woman. That's key.
Yeah, and that was really the an ominous sign for 2020 because it started all
the Pope slapping a woman begging for protection in the face.
Yes, and slapping this woman that was, and then the woman disappeared. Of course, everybody seen these images, and the Pope was kind of forced into searching this woman to ask her for
slapping her on the hand. Let's come back, Leo, and talk about that on the other side. Leo Zagami is our guest, leozagami.com. This is super censored stuff, folks. This guy knows what he's talking about. Big insider, big patriot. We'll be right back. Stay with us. You know, I know all this stuff because I've read a lot of history. Don't know all of it. I know a lot. Then I got a Leo Zagami on, who's a big Vatican researcher, best-selling author, been a political prisoner, had to leave Italy because they kept arresting him. Boy, that's happened to a lot of folks now, isn't it? We're simply predicting this guy would become the Pope, that he would engage in great apostasy, open world government, and deep six the Catholic Church. Now it's all happened. Let's pull it back again, like I said, 35,000 feet. Because that's right. The Vatican basically opened China up to the world 500, 600 years ago and has been involved the whole time. And we know Jesuits basically invented communism before they called it communism. And so why do you think they're all making their move and who is in command? We know China was put in by the CIA, the Communist Chinese in 1949. But I mean, now who are the players? Who do you think Trump represents? What are the factions here, Leo Zagami?
Well, the main players are the Rockefeller Foundation, who defined this whole scenario in a document that came out 10 years ago, Scenarios for the Future of Technology and International Development, in which they actually pinpointed on what will happen during the pandemic in such a detailed way, which is quite incredible. And then you have, of course, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and they all met in the Vatican in early November 2019. They met in the Vatican for a conference called Reduction of Food Loss and Waste that took place on the 11th and 12th of November 2019. And there is a big interest also from Bill Gates to also produce artificial meat. That's why there is such an attack on the meat production here, because both Bill Gates and Richard Branson have invested a lot of money in lab-generated artificial meat, which is basically Soylent Green kind of thing, because who knows what they're going to put in it. And so I connected that event that went on in November with the film Soylent Green, because in Italy, Soylent Green was called with a different title. It was called Survivors 2022. So in that movie, we know that in the end, the protagonist discovers that they're actually eating human bodies. So, and that might be one of the products of this crisis, because this is also going to be an economic crisis of infinite proportions. I know that this is not the ultimate plague, but definitely they are promoting it as such, because, like you said many times, they are imposing with this pandemic their one-world government and their rigid rules. If we go and see this document from the Rockefeller Foundation from 2010, it actually says, and I quote here, "During the pandemic, national leaders around the world flexed their authority and imposed outright rules and restrictions, from the mandatory wearing of face masks to body temperature checks at the entries to communal spaces like train stations and supermarkets." There also is, in this document, they underline that China acted quickly in their imposition and enforcement of mandatory quarantine for all citizens, as well as its instant and near hermetic sealing off of all borders, saving millions of lives, stopping the spread of the virus.
And you're reading the Rockefeller Foundation lockstep document that I actually
from
have right here.
From 2010, and Rockefeller Foundation is in bed with
and
the
then right before the virus is released, Event 201, run by Bill and Melinda Gates, the exact same scenario that sent out to everyone is, oh, here's a drill we're doing, but this is the blueprint, how they get around the NSA and others planning the event. They send it out as a drill, which is the exact script.
And all this, of course, goes hand in hand with the persecution of Christians. So this one world government is anti-Christian in nature, and they all met, Alex, also in February at the Vatican. Imagine, at the Vatican there was in February the head of IBM and the new head of Microsoft, and they were discussing.
I remember you brought this up, and you said, we're in deep trouble, folks. Get ready. This is they're planning right now. So
yeah,
is the Vatican the highest level? Are they in charge, or is there a group above it?
No, they are the highest level when it comes down to both the spiritual side of this takeover, the religious side, and also, of course, wanting to take control of the AI, because you see, religious side and political side will merge in one when the AI God will manifest in 2030 in all its potential. And in 2025, already we will see obvious in front of us an Orwellian scenario. But in 2030, we will also see the twisted religious side of this cyber Satan manifesting. That's why artificial intelligence is now being fought as a primary tool also from the weapon side of things.
Oh, we're being told it will save us now from the evil environment that no one's ever allowed to die from a virus. Robots and drones run by AI will protect us now.
But that's, Alex, because they want to gather data. The drones that go around, everything
because
around.
Because it wants to imitate God. They're trying to build God.
Well, they not only want to imitate God, the next move is actually to read what's inside our brain. That's what Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk are trying to do since last year. And Elon Musk said he will have this special device ready by the end of this year that can
be
placed
inside. Sir, do you think Elon Musk is playing good cop here? Because he'll come out and say we need a brain chip. He says this lockdown's evil, end it. What do you think he's up to?
Well, he's up to no good because he simply wants to have open his factory to get a government grant that has been promised to him. He's just being, he's just interested in his own business, of course. So that's why he's saying that, and probably also to promote his rebellious image. But it's all theater. Elon Musk is in bed with the enemy. Mark Zuckerberg also has been announcing since last year studies on how to read your brain thoughts because
sure, of course that'll all be a fraud. They're going to trick you and say they're reading it to again be able to convict you in anything they want.
The problem is, Alex, once they microchip you, they put an external force inside us, and they will probably be able
for well, they're going to trick you because they can predict what you're going to do because you follow patterns, so they'll use that to make you think you can predict everything.
Well, Zuckerberg said he actually has the algorithm that produces the stimulation between our brain
and
our body.
No, I agree. Why do you think, I mean, obviously Zuckerberg just looks like a robot. He now wears pink sweaters. He now wears pink sweaters like Bill Gates to look non-threatening. I said if Hitler wore pink sweaters, he would have taken over. No one would have fought him. My guy's wearing pink. Hitler's like, it's okay. He's wearing a pink sweater. I mean, who is Zuckerberg?
Another thing, Alex. He married a Chinese. He's just learning Chinese all day long. He's obsessed with China. He's a tool of Pope Francis because he works with the Jesuits and he works with Pope Francis. And so he's part of the whole team. This team that, of course, wants to implement this one world government under the AI in 2030. So the plan is to basically gather most data between 2020 and 2030 and doing it while people are locked up in their homes. It's not a coincidence that this happens while there is the national census. They want to know where we are, who we are. And they want to do it also
but
with social
media. Look how fake Zuckerberg is. I mean, he just screams like a Brian Stelter, just like danger, 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 danger.
Yes, and unfortunately, then Zuckerberg is also connected to virtual reality because he's also involved.
Oh, yeah, that's my next area. They're trying to force us onto that. Why would Microsoft use the satanic high priestess as their pitch woman?
Because, of course, it opens the doors to acceptance also in the art world.
Exactly. If you watch her, it's a circle they're watching. She appears in the circle, which is the opposite. If she's a demon, they need to be in the circle. Well, let's explain that when we come back. We'll show some of that. Because she's reached out to us. She wants to meet with me, Leo. I wonder why she wants to meet with me right now. Seriously, that's who they've sent as their ambassador. So does Fiona Hill. She wants to meet. Seriously. So all these Soros people want to meet with me. What do they think is going to happen when I meet with them? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Infowars.com, NewsWars.com, LeoZagami.com. Stay with us. Leo Zagami is our guest. I'm Alex Jones. I'll host a little bit of the next hour, then as he does every Friday. Saturday, Nick Baggage will take over for at least three segments. I'll be back this Sunday, Lord willing, 4 to 6 p.m. Leo, he starting each segment asking 35,000 foot view. You've been doing a great job when I asked that question, different facets of it, but we'll get back to AI and virtual reality and the spokesperson for Microsoft, you know, being this high priestess lady, and then her denying that and saying she wants to meet with me. And then Fiona Hill's like denying she's a globalist. She just says she doesn't know George Soros. She just headed up his biggest foundation and has the website, theglobalist.com. I mean, this is like saying Count Dracula doesn't know Count Dracula, or Willie Nelson doesn't know Willie Nelson, or Scooby-Doo doesn't know Scooby-Doo. I mean, it's just, or Santa Claus doesn't know Christmas, or Jesus doesn't know the Bible. I mean, it's this thing where they say it and they do it. It's like the UN, World Health Organization says, in an official document, we want world government. Oh, it just doesn't even matter. It's just the way they deny all of this stuff and then sit there and tell us it's not going on. But I guess that's just training us to be lied to, training us to be insulted to our face and just getting used to being lied to. I used to think, man, they think we're dumb. No, they lie to us on purpose. Is that right, Leo?
Yes, I mean, Marina Abramovic wants to come to you probably to convince you that she's innocent after she probably has lost a lot of money with this HoloLens 2 publicity ad that was removed from YouTube after a couple of days. But she is really involved with this whole elite. Remember her friendship...
Listen, people get mad at you when I say this. You're a normal guy. You got into stuff. You got the P2 Lodge. You come from one of the major aristocratic families. I looked into it. It's true. And I've been there to some of the castles and stuff with you in Rome. And so you've been inside this place. What are the real satanic hierarchies? Is she really important, or is she just a front person?
She's important because she's playing with the important symbols, and she has very important friendships. Remember, she was a very good friend of John of God, who was harvesting human parts. I mean, John of God did some terrible stuff. He had raped hundreds of women. He had harvested them for then selling the children of these women. She is a friend of John of God, so that's it. I mean, the guy is one of the...
Tied into Nexium, right?
Yes, and they're all tied together, you see. And, of course, the Vatican plays an important role. And let's not forget that in the midst of this chaos, Cardinal Pell was brought out of prison. He's probably on his way to Rome or in a safe place, at least. And then we have also Harvey Weinstein, who has disappeared after they said, oh, he has COVID-19, so let's get him out of prison. But where is he? We don't know that. But they're all connected. They all know each other, and Marina has been working for years with occult symbolism and with occultism, selling it to us as modern art.
By the way, she told Reddit users and Ask Me Anything that she said, for you it's art, but for me it's a ritual. Well, no kidding. And then she wants to have it both ways. So why do you think they want to meet with me?
They want to convince you. They want to convince you because for them, virtual reality and what Marina Abramovic is doing is very important, because it ties in with another diabolical thing, universal basic income. Let's put everybody locked in their houses, put them with this HoloLens, and then let's
give them a little money. It's like you can't go outside now. The drones are what you can have beautiful virtual reality. Oh, it's not good enough visually. We've got a wire in your brain that gives you unlimited pleasure, and now they've got your ass.
That's it for this first hour tonight. Thank you for listening. And we've got just so much going on out of here. It's keep after it. I've got the click-offs on thesecrettruth.com, so come in there and take a look at those. Thank you very much, and good night, and God bless everyone of you.